This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around Jesus and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what God has given me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Today, we hear this beautiful Easter text from the book of Revelation. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. It is a vision of wonder and celebration and life, a beautiful Easter text. But before we can have Easter, we must have Good Friday. Before resurrection, we have crucifixion. Before the risen Christ is the cross. Revelation also gives us a vision of the cross. Chapter 6 of Revelation presents a vision that has captured the imagination of not just Christians, but really the entire world. It is the vision of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, unfortunately, the imagination of most people plucks this vision right out of its historical and scriptural context. The book of Revelation was written as a subversive text, a protest against the Roman Empire. It was written by a first century Jewish follower of Jesus, who was one of the people oppressed by the Roman Empire. And like all apocalyptic literature in the Bible, it was not written as a prediction of future suffering, but as an interpretation of present suffering. Again, apocalyptic literature is not written as a prediction of future suffering. It is an interpretation of present suffering. There was no need for the author of Revelation to invent fictional suffering of the future. Not when they were living in the real suffering of the present. And in the present, they lived in a time of supposed prosperity, supposed glory. The Roman Empire claimed a prosperity and glory, arguing that salvation was found with Rome. But underneath this gilded image of Rome, the majority of people suffered. And the author of Revelation was one of those people. John, the author, his vision of the four horsemen is not a vision of the future, but a subversive mockery of Rome's claims of glory and prosperity and salvation. In Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb is given a scroll with seven seals on it. And in chapter 6, the Lamb begins to break these seals to reveal the message of God. When the first seal is broken, the first horseman comes forth. There was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he came out conquering and to conquer. Rome claimed glory by conquering. And when they conquered, they tried to convince those that they had conquered and oppressed these tribes and peoples, like the Israelites, like Jesus's people, that Rome was their savior, that they had come in and saved them from their barbaric lives, their primitive ways. Rome brought them enlightenment and prosperity. But the truth was that Rome brought them oppression and tried to destroy their cultures and their religions, their beliefs. The first horseman carries not a sword like a conquering Roman soldier would have done, but a bow and arrow. A bow and arrow, which were the common weapon of those barbaric people who opposed Roman rule. The conquering Rome, this oppressive empire, can be conquered by the people. When the Lamb breaks the second seal, second horseman comes forth. Out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth. Rome was known for the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. They claimed that their rule had brought peace to everywhere that their empire extended. But their peace, it was not the absence of conflict, it was the suppression of the people. The Pax Romana was a facade, a thin veil of peace over people who were oppressed, who were monitored and surveilled by Roman soldiers, who were threatened against speaking up and acting out. Peace was maintained through violence. The second horseman takes that mockery of peace away. When the Lamb breaks the third seal, the third horseman comes forth. There was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay, and three quarts of barley for a day's pay." Rome claimed economic prosperity. They claimed luxury and an abundance of food and wine. And for some, there was prosperity. For the 1%. The 99 lived in poverty. The prices that the third horseman calls out are inflated and exorbitant. The majority of people could not afford those prices. If they could scrounge up enough money to pay for that food, it was certainly not enough to feed their families. For the majority of people, the economic prosperity of Rome was a falsehood, an outright lie. The third horseman ends with these words, "But do not damage the olive oil and the wine." These words were a promise that this economic injustice, it would not last forever. That Rome's inequality would be met with equity and life. When the Lamb breaks the fourth seal, the fourth horseman comes forth. There was a pale green horse. His rider's name was Death. This rider comes with sword, famine, and pestilence. Rome claimed that they provided life and protection to their empire. But they brought death to many people through the sword, through hunger, through sickness. Death came. Rome was not an empire of life. It was an empire of death for many, many people, for Jesus's people. But this fourth horseman only has authority over 1/4 of the earth. While Rome might bring death, power is not absolute. The author of Revelation lived under the oppression of the Roman Empire, an empire that claimed glory and prosperity, that claimed to provide salvation for all people. But this salvation was a lie. And Revelation seeks to reveal this lie. John, the author, does not want people to buy into this false salvation of Rome. He does not want people to trust in the theology of glory that Rome presents. So John employs a theology of the cross in his apocalyptic vision. Martin Luther wrote, "A theology of glory calls evil good and good evil. A theology of the cross calls the thing what it actually is." Rome's theology of glory tried to call their evil good. A theology of the cross calls a thing what it is. Rome tried to claim that their oppression was, in fact, salvation. In Revelation, John's theology of the cross calls Rome what it is, an oppressor who causes the suffering of the majority of the people and death to a great multitude. John's theology of the cross calls us to recognize from where true salvation comes. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation does not belong to violence and conquering, destroying the diversity of cultures. Salvation does not belong to false peace, a facade that suppresses the people and threatens them in silence. Salvation does not belong to the prosperity of the 1%, and the rich becoming richer and the poor becoming poorer. Salvation does not belong to people that claim to give life while bringing death. Through war and the destruction of the earth that leads to famine and pestilence. No, salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to the God who raised Tabitha from the dead. Tabitha, who gave love, service, and life to her community. Salvation belongs to God, who does not just follow us, but pursues us with goodness and mercy, who leads us to a healthy creation of green pastures and still waters. Salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb, who bring the diverse multitude of peoples from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages together, who brings environmental justice and economic equity so that hunger and thirst are no more, who brings comfort and wholeness, wiping away every tear from our eyes. Salvation belongs to Jesus, who knows us deeply and perfectly, and calls us to follow him in the way of justice, of belonging, of true peace, of love, of eternal life. So my siblings, from where does your salvation come? In whom do you put your trust? The Roman empires of our day? Or our God, who is seated on the throne, and the Lamb, who guides us to springs of the waters of life? Amen.